Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on August 28th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a recap of South Carolinians who spoke at the Democratic and Republican National Conventions with insight from Meg Kennard. We have the latest unemployment data. The CDC issued new guidance to exclude asymptomatic testing. And we take a closer look at the mental health challenges frontline medical workers face as they battle this pandemic. And in our wind down section, we have a pop culture quiz that I likely won't pass. Will you? AT is the quizmaster. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave your name, where you're calling from, and what is happening in your world. Whether you're a college student going back, whether you're a working parent and you have your kids going online, whether you're a delivery person just running around, we want to know. 803-563-7169.
And like we do in every episode, we're going to do the numbers. And once again, Gavin is gone and my cat has abandoned me also. Chippy, where are you? Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing and not contained, according to the Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 2,521 deaths, and currently there are 114,400 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of August 28th at 4 p.m. In the last 24 hours, there have been 903 new cases and 23 deaths with a percent positive rate of 15.7. There are currently 979 people hospitalized with COVID-19, 246 of which are in intensive care, and 146 are ventilated. Another note, on August 27th, we had our lowest percent positive rate in months at 8.1%. But again, in the last 24 hours, the percent positive rate was 15.7.
So we've touched on both conventions of the last 2 weeks and played audio from South Carolinians who participated in them. But to wrap it all up, I figured we'd catch up with Meg Kennard, one of our favorite friends of the pod. She covered the conventions for the Associated Press from here in Columbia. Now, Meg joined me via Skype on This Week in South Carolina, and I began by asking her about House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn's speech from last week.
As we know, Congressman Clyburn is a fixture and the dean of the South Carolina Democratic Coalition here in the state. He's the highest ranking black member in the House. And he, from his powerful leadership position as the whip, brings a lot to the state in terms of attention, but also projects that he's been working on, like rural broadband, for example, recently. But for him to play a prominent role at that Democratic convention was not a big surprise. Congressman Clyburn's endorsement, not just in the South Carolina primary, but also in the presidential nominating contest overall, was highly sought after by all of these candidates. Having his buy-in for a campaign is huge. He obviously gave that buy-in to Joe Biden several days before our primary here back in February. But to see Congressman Clyburn speaking from a rooftop of a Charleston downtown hotel, the Dewberry that we all know and love, to see him showing off the city and to speaking about issues that are important to his constituents in South Carolina brought the stage right here home to South Carolina and reminded the voters across the country of the role that this state really plays when it comes to picking presidential candidates and nominees on really both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm.
And Meg, when we look about, you know, uniting the country there, I want to switch gears to a little bit to what we heard from Nikki Haley, our former governor, former USU ambassador to the United Nations for the Trump administration. What did you hear from her speech in terms of maybe uniting the country as well, or maybe how it differed from what we heard from Congressman Clyburn?
Sure. Nikki Haley, we all know her story, but for a lot of voters across the country, this really is one of those big opportunities for her to be introducing herself on a national scale. She told a lot of stories that we're familiar with about growing up in Bamberg, South Carolina, where she, as the daughter of Indian immigrants, experienced discrimination. She often says that she wasn't black, she wasn't white, but she was brown and never really felt like she fit in. So she was speaking to that diversity that, again, obviously Joe Biden Biden and Congressman Clyburn want voters to be thinking about. But Nikki Haley is up there as a Republican saying, look, don't forget, there are plenty of people like me who represent diversity within this party. And so we could potentially be speaking to a lot of those issues in a very unique and personal way that not everybody can, but she said that she is the one who really does have those experiences that she can bring to the table as well.
Talk about Senator Tim Scott there. He did mention George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, something that we didn't hear from a lot of other speakers when we're talking about these racial justice issues. You know, Senator Scott was also at the forefront of legislation this past summer dealing with criminal justice reform. It got stalled out. He did mention that he blamed the Democrats in his speech, but Meg, I want to ask you a little bit more about what we heard in his speech overall and how it fit into the narrative of this week.
Sure. And Tim Scott, obviously, like Nikki Haley, comes from a bit of a different perspective piece. He is the only Republican, Black Republican, in the U.S. Senate. And he oftentimes talks about a lot of the personal difficulties that he's experienced. I believe it's the 18 times in the past 2 decades that he's been pulled over by law enforcement. He can speak to a lot of these issues that are experienced within the Black community with authenticity within the Republican Party, something that none of his colleagues can do. He also has said that he doesn't like just being come to talk about Black issues and just, you know, discussing the things that are important to the Black community, saying, look, I think every issue is important to the Black community and otherwise, so that's who elected me. It's not just Black people, it's everyone in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So Tim Scott obviously brings diversity into the Republican Party, and he did speak to some of that, but he also talked about his relationship with President Trump, with whom he has disagreed at times, but he has mentioned, look, opportunity zones, those are issues that are very important to me that I've worked on. The president supported it. Options for education for parents, that's important to me. The president has supported it. So Tim Scott, like Nikki Haley, seems to be the kind of candidate and politician who's looking at the Trump administration, acknowledging that there are perhaps some things with which they don't agree, but in those areas, on those issues that they, with the president's support, they're willing to sit with him and work on those things. And that's something that could be appealing to voters at a higher level as well.
Always great catching with Meg. Isn't it great to hear her on here again? I know it's been a while since we've been doing our traditional lead podcast, but we will be getting back to more and more of those. We'll be hearing from our other friends, some other top political reporters in the state, once we ramp up our campaign trail coverage after Labor Day. I know you all are salivating out there for that, so stay tuned. Also, you can check out the entire interview I had with Meg on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page on YouTube. And now we have a quick business section, and we have the latest unemployment numbers for you. For the week ending August 22nd, we saw around 5,500 South Carolinians make initial claims for unemployment insurance benefits. Now that was a decrease of about 1,700 from the week before. And the South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce says that this is part of a continued downward trend. Still, some 141,000 South Carolinians continue to certify for unemployment benefits. Moving on, Reuters is reporting that Boeing is seeking to increase Black U.S. employees throughout the company by 20% and mandate benchmarks for hiring people of color. This is what CEO Dave Calhoun said in a memo to employees on Friday. In this memo, Calhoun said that the company would establish an internal racial justice think tank to guide its policies. Now, Boeing declined to provide its current number of Black employees or a timeline for the new target. And since I don't want to overwhelm you all with too many pre-produced segments today, I will save excerpts from my interview with USC research economist Dr. Joey Von Nessen for Tuesday's podcast. Now, you can preview that by checking out This Week in South Carolina. The episode airs on Sunday at 11:30 a.m., and all of our episodes also air Fridays at 7:30 p.m. on SCETV. And just a word of warning, for this week, we are preempted for our September pledge drive. Now for our medical section. According to Business Insider, the CDC has narrowed testing guidelines earlier this week to exclude people who show no symptoms of COVID-19, even if they were exposed to the virus. The CDC was instructed to do so from top Trump officials, per the New York Times. Now, this has alarmed health officials because, as we know, people who are asymptomatic can still spread the virus. This move was approved in a recent White House Coronavirus Task Force meeting in which Dr. Anthony Fauci was not present because he was undergoing vocal cord surgery to remove a polyp. Next up, South Carolina Public Radio's Scott Morgan has this in-depth look at how healthcare workers on the front lines are coping with the added stresses of this pandemic.
The first thing to know is that there are two front lines, the emergency room and the room you get sent to from the emergency room. The second thing to know is the workers on these two fronts are dealing with very different environments.
Well, in the moment, and I think this is something that's unique about people who choose emergency care and like it, is that you're just really detached from it. It's not that you don't care, you care very much, but you just do what you're trained to do in the moment.
This surprisingly calm voice belongs to Pamela Wright, an ER nurse in Columbia and admitted fan of the steady adrenaline drip that emergency room work entails. In most ways, ER care is ER care, a theater of controlled mayhem and very fast decisions. But COVID has altered the way ER care is given, and that's what Wright says could prove most problematic for emergency room workers over time.
I think the big thing you're going to see is the just absolute mental and physical exhaustion. Your senses are dulled. It's harder to hear people. You can't touch people. I mean, doing an assessment, for example, listening to their breath sounds, how can you? You have on goggles and a mask, and or the PAPR, which has a fan in it, and you all you hear is, and that's going to take a huge toll on people, wondering, did I do everything? Did I hear everything?
An advantage that allows ER nurses to detach, Wright says, is that they only see patients for a couple of hours at most. There's no time to develop personal connections. It's quite the opposite for nurses like April Hutto.
I am a family nurse practitioner that's been working as a hospitalist at Prisma.
That puts Hutto on the floor where admitted patients go to recover, or often don't. And the suffering and angst that she sees on this front line gets heavy.
The grief and the anxiety of patients can be overwhelming and heartbreaking when you're taking care of a patient that you know is going to die.
That might be as soon as 6 or 8 hours. It might be over a few days, but it's enough time to let one dwell on things like this.
You are somebody's potential last conversation before they are no longer able to talk. To call families and say, your loved one can't talk to you, but this is what we need to do if we want to try to keep them alive. This is what's wrong with them. And you can't come see them. You can't come say goodbye, but they're going to die here.
The underscore for all the anxiety is maybe the most insidious thing that COVID-19 brings. Loneliness. The emptiness of possibly seeing your life come to a close, cut off from human contact. For healthcare workers, it's an unfair comeuppance for their empathy.
There's the physician in New York who obviously killed herself in the midst of all the COVID stuff. I know of somebody else who is a healthcare worker that has done that as well. I think for the patients, especially the elderly and those that already suffer from a mental health issue, this is exceptionally hard. We're not meant to be isolated people. You know, we need each other.
What often makes things worse for healthcare workers is actually themselves, as Lamar Suber explains.
There is a stigma that is within the healthcare field where you don't necessarily talk about or reach out for either mental health or addiction support because you don't want to be looked at as someone who is not able to perform their job.
Suber is the project director for SC Hopes, a newly established free hotline for South Carolinians that also has a dedicated team of mental health and substance abuse counselors on hand specifically for healthcare workers dealing with the pandemic. It's a great idea, but so far that part of the line has been quiet.
We have received very little outreach from healthcare workers. We haven't actually had as many as we would have hoped to come in and seek help from our support line.
Suber says that's probably due to a combination of stigma and a lack of awareness that SC Hopes actually exists. He says he plans to do more outreach to healthcare workers so that they know they don't need to go it alone. Anyone in need of some help can call 844-SC-HOPES.
Thank you, Scott, for that reporting on hardworking healthcare professionals on the front line. And thank you to those fighting to stop this pandemic and keep us safe day in and day out. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's happening in your world. Are you going to work? Are you receiving unemployment benefits? Are you a medical professional like Scott was talking to? How are you handling all of this? Tell us. We want to know. So do our listeners. 803-563-7169. And just a reminder, when you leave us your name and your message, keep it to under 3 minutes, because if it gets clipped off, it's really hard for us to do anything with it. So bear that in mind. So just keep it nice and concise and let us know what's happening. With that being said, AT, is your phone working? Have we got some messages? What's going on?
Let me see here. Yeah, this phone's on.
You gotta turn it on. Is it turned on?
We do have messages.
Did you try turning it on?
Well, okay. So we got some messages. We could still use more. So don't use this as an excuse to not call, because we do have messages. But yes, we have a new caller from the upstate who is a professional speaker. So you know he made that time limit, baby.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yep. Let's roll the tape.
Roll it. You got to turn the phone on to roll the tape.
Hey, Gavin and AT. This is Mark calling from Greenville. I just got done a talk, and I thought of you guys. I'm a professional speaker that used to travel the world going to stages, and now my stage is my desk. So hearing the dearth of voicemails in today's podcast, I decided to call and just say it's different as a speaker, trying to figure out how to do this whole still being helping people and leaders without being able to travel to them. In other news, kids started school this week, and so we're adjusting to that as well, two in college, one in public school here in Greenville. So, but your podcast has been really helpful. Thank you for reminding me to make a gift to the ETV endowment. So you could report to people that I've done that. ETVendowment.org/membership is where listeners can do that. And I think the most jarring experience I've had today is listening to you guys at one speed. I just was looking for the phone number and I didn't realize that my podcast catcher, I do at two speed. So you guys are really relaxing and chill in a way that I haven't experienced you in all the time I've been listening to the podcast. Thanks a lot for keeping the pandemic informed and entertaining.
Mark from Greenville, I hear that. I hear all about that speaking from the desk. It's really tricky not to have a crowd to feed off of, for sure. And thank you for doing the work for me, plugging the endowment. We appreciate that. I caught myself on TV when I went home last night, and I turned it on to ETV because it's the only channel I get, really. And there I was. I was like, give me a break, Gavin. Give me some time away from here. But usually listens at two speed. AT, we record this at half speed and we speed it up to one speed.
Actually. Yeah, well, I actually have to speed it up in post. I think I have never been called chill in my entire life, so thank you so much.
What do people call you?
Aggressively contrarian.
Yeah, okay, that's very accurate. I wonder.
Rigid.
Two speed, holy moly, that's like full fledged right there, right into it.
Oh, that's, I mean, I never even considered listening to it full speed. I want to know, does the music still bang at two speed? I don't know, because I have some bangers in there, I think.
Maybe, yeah, the remix is right there. So,
okay.
Yeah, you have a quiz for us.
Okay, so let me set the stage. Let me paint you a picture here, Gavin. We were watching a cooking show, as 30-somethings do, okay? A cooking competition show featuring Guy Fieri. And a commercial for the 2020 MTV VMAs came on, and they were listing the artists playing, and I mean, I barely recognized any of them. And I'm not one to be plugged into super pop culture.
Sure.
I listen to like tech death metal and jazz.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you asked me if Dua Lipa was a person, a place, or a thing.
And yeah, I was not clear on what Dua Lipa was. I had to go, is that a person or a group?
A movement? It's all the things.
Okay, so I thought, my friend Gavin, it's Dua Lipa is a thought experiment. So I thought, my friend Gavin, he's much more plugged in than I am into pop culture, but he is also a 30-something. So let's see how many of these artists Gavin knows.
And you can play along too while you're driving or walking. And I just want to point out too that I am still not even the most plugged in. When I talk to my groups of friends, I'm the one that's like, what's happening? So just a little preface there. I mean, but compared to you, so we're going down the ladder here in terms of like who knows most.
I'm very bottom rung here, okay? Here we go. Okay, so there are some layups in here, okay? Number one, this is in alphabetical order, Ariana Grande.
Yes.
We know who Ariana Grande is, right? Yeah.
Ari, so that's friends. Easy.
This one, I can tell you by looking at the picture that the most notable person in this group is not there, the Black Eyed Peas, which, when's the last time? That's very 2000 and late, you know what I mean?
I just think Fergie's of the Super Bowl.
Fergie is not in this picture. BTS.
Fergalicious Derp. Yeah.
You know what BTS is?
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is.
The group, right? The Korean pop group.
It's a group of fair young men.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they're huge. They're the ones.
Is it K-pop?
Yeah. They're the ones that like allegedly did the whole got everyone to, you know, register for that Trump rally in Oklahoma.
Oh, they were the K-pop people that did that?
Mm-hmm, allegedly. Yeah. I don't know if they actually did, but that's the theory. But yes.
I remember the K-pop fans bombing the Trump hashtags. Okay. This one, I don't know. Chloe X Halle. Chloe and Halle.
I know of them. I know that they opened for Beyonce when she came through last 2 years ago.
Beyonce.
My good friend Maya is tight. I think she knows one or two of them. But yeah, I know them. I haven't heard
she them. Knows both Chloe and Halle?
I don't know. She has some connection to them. But yeah, I'm aware of them.
Okay, Maya, please steer us the right way. Okay, this one, I don't know. CNCO. CNCO. CNCO.
Did you spell it out?
It's just the letter C, the letter N, the letter C, the letter O. CNCO.
I don't. I'm looking
you
it
do
up.
You do not know.
It's a boy band.
Stump.
I don't know it.
This next one, never heard of it. DaBaby. DaBaby.
Is that the baby from Dinosaurs?
It is. You gotta love them. Yes. That just also is showing how old we are, talking about the baby.
Nope. Looks like it's an American rapper. Okay. Nope. Did not know. He's from Ohio.
No
O-H-I-O.
Idea. Okay. I only know how to say this next one, because I heard it in the commercial, Doja Cat.
Yeah. Yes. I know Doja Cat.
You know Doja Cat?
She has a sweet song.
A sweet song. Okay.
Yes, very beautiful. That pink hair, that poppin' pink hair.
Poppin' pink hair, according pink to hair. Gavin Jackson. So, quoted.
I've only gotten two wrong so far, I think, right? This is exciting.
CNCO, DaBaby, Chloe, and Halle, you knew who they were.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, good for you.
Okay,
good for
you. How did you guys do?
This one is very, very... Oh,
keeps
there
going.
More.
Okay, I think we just need one or two more.
Jack Harlow? He is one of the most nondescript young men I've ever seen in my life, and I have no idea who he is.
Let's see. He is a rapper.
You could have told me he did anything. You could have told me he was
an investment
a construction
banker
foreman, and I would have believed you.
Enjoys rap on the side.
You don't know Jack Harlow. Okay. I mean, the next one is Lady Gaga. We all know Lady Gaga.
Why did you even put her on the list?
I mean, they're on the list. I'm just reading you the list.
Yeah.
Here's another nondescript young man, Louis Capaldi. Louis Capaldi,
singer songwriter. I'm looking this up because I don't know either. Scottish singer songwriter. So is he trying to be like what's his face? God, he had that duet with Beyonce, but they only play his version. Oh, his red hair.
No idea. Okay, next, Machine Gun Kelly.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
You're aware of that. It's a single man, so you reverse Dua Lipa'd him. Dua Lipa'd him. Maluma.
I don't know, but
Maluma.
He is a Colombian singer.
Maluma. It sounds like a little cute melanoma.
Give me one more, please.
I mean, there's only one more. There are three more. Miley Cyrus and The Weeknd are there. We both know who they are. I've never actually heard any of The Weeknd. And then Tate McRae. Do you think Tate McRae is a man or a woman? Or let's not put labels on
these
things.
I already did it.
Things.
I already looked. I just hit Tate, and it's a woman. She's Canadian.
I mean, I was so out of the loop on all that.
But Caitlin
looked at me when that list came down, and she was like, Are we old?
So I think
I don't know
for me,
anybody
like,
on that.
Yes, I don't know all these people, but for me, I might know their songs more. If it played, I'd be like, oh, I've heard that before, because I, you know, I'm a little plugged in with the pop music on the Sirius XM. But it's almost like sometimes when, you know, like 90s bands come on, I'm like, I know this song, but I don't know if it's Bush or if it's like Counting Crows or Alice in Chains.
You know, they're all, so you know, you don't get even say Alice in Chains and Counting Crows.
I did that just to rile you up.
Oh my God, I can't stand Adam Duritz. But okay, so that I'm officially old because I only knew the people who were active in like 2008.
Oh, okay. Ed Sheeran. Okay, that's who I was trying to think of. Ed Sheeran.
Oh, Ed Sheeran.
Duet. I hate when they play that song, Perfect, and it's just the Ed Sheeran version because Beyonce delivers
Beyonce.
That song.
Anyway, man, I love Beyonce and Rihanna.
Yeah, Rihanna, where's the music? I think we can all agree with that. She's supposed to have given us an album like a year and a half ago. Still. Has not.
Go off, King. Go off, King.
And we are in the middle of a pandemic.
We in a pandemic. Go off, King. Go off, King.
We've had enough.
Close it out. We're old.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know if you're watching the AMAs, who your favorite artist is. Maybe even give us a little karaoke in our message. We would love that. Probably won't play it, but we'll love it. We'll love it.
Definitely karaoke.
Karaoke. And again, yeah, we had a little rushed episode today on this Friday because I'm in between a day-long Zoom meeting, and this is the fastest we've ever done a pod, I would say
it was fast and furious.
Yeah. Oh my God, I totally get it now. I'm catching your Tokyo drift, bro.
You're catching my Tokyo drift. Thank you so much. This was too fast and too furious.
The number two.
Yes, exactly right.
But thank you for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. And be like Mark from Greenville and consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all that great programming your donation helps support. And you get that sweet sticker. And if you want a lead sticker, DM us your address, and we'll send one off. I hear something on the street. And I know I need to do that. I know people have DM'd me, so I'm going to do that as soon as possible. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Here I go. Look at me starting so fast. Under a minute.
I hate this. I hate
it. I do
it.
Too.
It's not part of our process. It's not right.
It's definitely not. It's super rushed. Everyone's nervous. Everyone's sweaty. Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. I didn't like the way that started.
Cross it out already.
Okay. Delete back. Okay. Just delete the whole script.